Each time we turn on an electric light in a dark room, in a way, we are turning on a time machine.
Put yourself back into this world where everything to do with light was a flame. And imagine that all of a sudden, one day, that changes.
There was a sense in which we were entering a brave new world. That's what Edison represented, you know, the world to come.
135 years ago today, inventor Thomas Edison received the patent for his electric light bulb. It was a moment of bringing light to darkness that would be repeated for decades as the country was electrified and light bulbs became available to all. This story, among others, is told in a new American Experience documentary called Edison. It was produced by our partner WGBH and will air on PBS tonight. You just heard an excerpt from it. The film considers another invention of Mr. Edison's, the idea of a techie American global celebrity. Before Edison, the celebrity Americans were people like Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, and George Washington. After Edison, in a sense, there was only Edison. Michelle Ferrari is the writer, director, and co-producer of the WGBH American Experience film Edison. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Nancy Kane is a contributor to the film and a historian at the Harvard Business School. Nancy, welcome to you.
Thanks, John.
So this idea of a global techie American celebrity, we think of many people today, but Edison really invented this whole idea.
Absolutely, he did, or at least he was the first. I'm not sure it was completely his creation. I think his contemporaries had something to do with it and were looking for a celebrity to crown. But he was extraordinarily famous in his lifetime. The first full-length biography of Thomas Edison was written when he was 31 years old.
When he got a sense of his personal importance and that a brand could be formed around this idea of constant invention, did it make Edison more competitive, Nancy?
I think it did, John. I think he was, you know, he was a brilliant publicist. He didn't go to school for that. He knew it instinctively. And, you know, as his reputation grew and as others moved into spaces that he had helped create, like George Westinghouse in electricity, he did two things. One, he tried to belittle or outrun his rivals. But the second thing he did was to, in a sense, cultivate even more intently in the growing media interest in him and to try and use that to, as we'd say today, to build his brand and to increase his market share and his, again, to use modern terms, his market power.
And that power stemmed from, and I had to recall this in watching your film, it wasn't the electric light bulb, although that really catapulted him to global fame. It was the invention of the recording device. And here's a little sound that evokes that moment.
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Now, Michelle, what's that from there? That's not Edison. That's Spencer Tracy.
Yeah, it's Edison the Man, which was one of the Hollywood films that was made about Edison. There was another Edison the Boy that starred Mickey Rooney. But there is a recording of Edison reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb, but he made it quite late in his life, an extant recording, and you can tell that he's very old, so he cheated a bit.
He cheated a bit, exactly. But again, always cultivating this image and Hollywood picking up on it. Here's Nathan Myhrvold, who's an inventor and entrepreneur, formerly with Microsoft, talking about the significance of this invention.
There was a miracle to it that I think goes beyond most of the things that we would currently experience. Sound was the most ephemeral thing we had. And Edison took it from being ephemeral to being concrete and something that would exist for the ages.
Nancy Kane, every time someone from Apple stands up on one of those stages and unveils a new product, is that an echo of the kinds of events that Thomas Edison used to organize?
Absolutely. You know, Mark Twain once said history doesn't repeat itself precisely, but sometimes it does rhyme. You know, a lot of Edison's life is a huge, you know, rhymes very, very strongly with, you know, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, many of the other giants, if you will, of Silicon Valley, not only in terms of this is an event, right? The inventor, the invention, and the commercialization or the commercial possibilities of that invention as an event worthy of a lot of media and public attention, but also the sense of the person as the kind of, you know, center of this, the inventor at the center of a perfect storm of thought and business and possibility and science that was going to very quickly be relevant to consumers, to families all over the country. That in the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s, all the way into the early 20th century with Edison was new, was important, and it echoes and rhymes every time Apple announces a new iPhone or a new iPad.
And this American Experience film really talks about how high the stakes were in so many of the decisions about how to proceed in terms of electrification. And I'm reminded that, you know, Edison was all about direct current, the kinds of electricity that comes out of your little batteries. But Westinghouse was competing with alternating current, and that's the current that comes out of the walls today. And this piece of tape is all about how Edison was so fiercely competitive that he wanted to brand Westinghouse as, well, you can just listen.
All of a sudden, Edison, who had always been against capital punishment, suddenly is completely behind the electric chair. And he feels that the best way to do this is to use, guess what, Westinghouse alternating current generators. And it is fully his intention to associate everything to do with Westinghouse and his electricity with death.
Michelle Ferrari, what is going on in that notion that Edison and Westinghouse and the electric chair were trying to be linked there?
Well, Edison was, as you said, you know, sort of fiercely protecting his technology, and he went after his competitors in the lowest possible way. And at that point in his life, he'd been really focused on electricity for 10 years. I think he was a little bit restless, and he wasn't willing to put in the time to figure out the technical problems of delivering AC power. He wasn't willing to compete in an above board way, and so he went for the jugular. And he basically tried to instill in people a fear about the power of high voltage current.
Does the Edison brand survive today, Nancy, in a way that Edison would have liked, or not so much?
I think it does. I mean, I think he'd be surprised by how much resonance his name and achievements have, you know, somewhat 160 plus years after his birth. I don't think he'd be surprised by how many of the, you know, of the rhythms and activities and gadgets and just absolutely essential systems that every person uses today can trace many, many skeins back to him. I think even he, with his grand ego and his driving ambition, would be surprised by how much we today owe to Thomas Edison.
Nancy Cann is a historian at the Harvard Business School, a contributor to the film Edison, which is written and directed and co-produced by Michelle Ferrari of the American Experience. Michelle and Nancy, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
A real pleasure, John.
The new American Experience documentary, Edison, airs on PBS stations tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, produced by our partner WGBH in Boston.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.